Well, I wonder if living under this stay-at-home order that we're under right now is a kind of hidden gift from all that has accumulated in our life and in church life. Certainly, it's not a gift in terms of the people that are suffering and getting sick, and it is a plague in that sense. But as God is wont to do, to bring blessing even in the midst of suffering, I wonder what we might learn and take away and take to heart from all that we're experiencing right now. The question I think this Palm Sunday story raises for us is the question of why we are here. We're no longer here at the Good Shepherd Building, but why are we here on earth as God's people, as God's church? We've looked at this story every year, ever since I've been here, and I'm sure before that. But I wonder if now that things have kind of been cleared away in our life, not unlike the way Jesus cleared away the temple, I wonder if we are ready to hear this story with fresh ears. So let's look at it. It's actually two stories that are back-to-back because they took place one after another. We don't tend to look at them together, though, and I think it's important we do that this morning. The first part is verses 1 through 11, the triumphal entry, the Palm Sunday story with all the hosannas. And I have talked about that on many occasions, even more than the once-a-year Palm Sunday. The crowd that gathered were cheering and celebrating because Jesus' entry was fulfilling their hopes and dreams. It was the long-awaited hope for a Messiah, for one anointed of God to come. And many believed that Jesus might be that one. And we believe Jesus was the Messiah. But there was a particular interpretation of what that was a little bit off who Jesus actually believed himself and declared himself to be. It was the common expectation, the common hope, and there was reason for it, that the Messiah would be a political hero. He would lead a revolution against Rome, against the empire, against the occupation of Rome in Israel, against the taxes that were so heavy and unfair. And so as God's people read the Holy Scripture and they read this promise of God sending a deliverer, one like Moses, one like Elijah, they could not help but fill in the picture with what their own hopes and dreams were. And Jesus did fulfill the Scripture. He was the Messiah, but in a way that was not expected. His kingdom, the kingdom that he announced, that he ushered in, was a spiritual kingdom, not a political, earthly kingdom. And so everything was right that day in terms of the shouts of Hosanna, save us now, God, save us, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, and yet they missed it. And I can't help think of our own tendency to do that. We have all the same scriptures, we have the message of Jesus, and yet it becomes so easy to just get a little bit off kilter, and our religion, our Christianity becomes a thing of our own making, and Jesus becomes the Savior that we want rather than the Savior we need or the Savior he is. It's easy for us to kind of baptize our own politics and think our party of preference is somehow anointed or blessed or favored by God or right. It's easy for us to be superstitious about our Christianity, about church. We show up when we want something from God. We pray extra hard. We do extra good. And we think God's going to reward that instead of following the biblical call to be faithful. It's easy for the place, the building, the programs, good as they are, to become the point instead of God being the point. All that, I think, is right at the heart of this gospel story from Matthew. And it continues on even more clearly into the scene that follows in the temple. I think the people that day in the crowd, they meant well. They had read the scriptures. They longed for the Messiah. They just missed what God was doing. And I don't want us to miss what God is doing. The people in the next scene in the temple also meant well, or at least I believe the practices that had accumulated there came from original good intentions. But as you know, and as you heard, Jesus chased the money changers and the ones selling animals out of the temple. Here's why it came from good intentions. It was a requirement of the religion to sacrifice, the Jewish religion, to sacrifice animals in the temple. And some people who traveled from far away, it was hard to do that, to bring the right kind of animal that was supposed to be unblemished and the best of what you had. And so some folks at some point started making the appropriate kind of animals available there at the temple. And you could purchase a dove or a lamb or whatever the sacrifice needed to be, and it was just right. But as you can imagine, it's very easy for that practice, that convenience, to start taking advantage of people, of preying on their need for the right kind of sacrifice. And so that's what Jesus names as he chases them out of the temple, presumably for the second time. He does that once at the beginning of his ministry. That's recorded in the early part of John, the Gospel of John. And now at the very end of his ministry, he does it again, except interestingly, he doesn't chase them and keep going. He stays and heals blind and lame who come to him. And then if you keep reading, children gather and praise him there. So this time it seems more about teaching, about raising into their minds, why are you here? Why are you here at the temple? And from the scriptures, he reminds them, it's because it's a house of prayer. It is God's house of prayer. So again, I wonder what we can learn from both of these stories, the triumphal entry, the clearing of the temple for the second time, and Jesus' teaching about it. I wonder if there are things that we confuse with the real reason for being the church, not going to church, but being God's church. Are we not also to be a people of prayer and a people who worship and serve God? It's easy to take our eye off of that ball and focus on the program and the people and the place. And I wonder if this time of being required to stay at home is a kind of clearing of the deck, of sweeping the tables clean to focus on just what it is that God wants us to do and be as his people. Are we not realizing already that we can pray, that we can serve outside of the building, from our own homes? Are we not being required to rest upon habits, practices of reading scripture, of praying to sustain our faith? What if this has been all along the real core function and practice of being God's church, right? To pray, to serve, to follow, and we get the added benefit of being together in doing that when we're not under stay-at-home orders. My question, my prayer for us is, how will things be different when we go back? I don't think we're going to abandon gathering because staying at home has been so fun and wonderful. We long to see each other. But how will our priority and our understanding of being the church change through this experience as we go back? Now, I don't think in any way these are idle or unproductive days. Even setting aside working from home or doing school from home, we are getting to practice the essentials of the faith, right? Reading God's word, praying, caring for our literal neighbors in some cases, connecting with family, with friends, with folks so they will know they're not alone. These are all the practices we need to carry in a fresh way back. We're trying to equip you with those core activities while we're at home. Zach has been so good this past week to put out a fresh scripture study where each day in a little bite-sized quarter hour, 15-minute segment, we look at the same passage of scripture, and each day we do it in a little bit different way. On our website, he has modeled that for us, and we will post each week what the upcoming scripture will be. I invite you to do that. I have seen more of my neighbors in the past week than months before now. It's like they're all, you know, we're not interacting like physically. We're all keeping our distance, but we're all outside walking on the greenway, on the sidewalk, you know, waving and calling out to neighbors on their porch. It's been glorious and surprising, right, that stay at home has gotten us out in the outside. That's been a real blessing. I hope that continues as well. And then finally, Jesus called the temple God's house of prayer. And so you may think, well, we need to get back to the building, right? But part of his teaching was that temple was replaced with himself, with God's Holy Spirit that resides now in us in temples of flesh, right? So now God's house of prayer is mobile because it goes with us. You can pray anywhere you are, right? Stay at home, on the sidewalk, at work, in the church building. We are a house of prayer for God. We are the place of worship and of service to God. So all this, I believe, is a call to us, a challenge to us to return to why we exist, right? Why we're here on earth, why we're here with life and breath. It is, as the scriptures say, it's listen up, people of God. God is one, and we are to love God with all we are and all we have. That's why we're here. I hope we are hearing that with fresh ears and in a fresh way today. May God be with you and cause this word to sink into the soil of your life and bless you through the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen.